So this is the prayer of the Lord Jesus. We looked at the first five verses last week, and we pick it up this morning in John chapter 17 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus prays, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. In primary school, there was always a moment of great excitement when the teacher would look for someone to send on an errand. Maybe it was to deliver a message to a teacher in another classroom, or it was to collect something from another classroom and bring it back. This was the day before political correctness, when every child had to get their turn, and that no child could be treated more favourably than any others. So inevitably, it was the good children that got picked to go on the errand. The trustworthy children, the ones the teacher could be sure would not get into any mischief along the way. Teacher would look for a volunteer, my hand would go up, but I would never get picked. And probably for good reason. It was always the same few children, the good children. After all, who on earth would choose the bad children to send on an errand? But there is a God in heaven who does just that. Those God sends on his mission are not those who are good, but those he has chosen. And because he has chosen them and loved them, he can transform even the most rebellious sinner into a reliable messenger. We're going to see in the passage this morning that believers in Jesus have been chosen out of the world. We are no longer of the world, and we are sent into the world. We've first of all been chosen out of the world. In John's gospel, the world isn't simply the whole of created order. It describes rather the world in its sinful, fallen state, and humankind in its rebellion against God and his rejection of God. It describes a world that is already under the condemnation of God. It's a world that has fallen under the influence of God's great enemy, the devil. And it's a world into which God would send his son to rescue a people for himself. A people belonging to Jesus. Jesus says in verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me. You'll see here that ownership is vitally important. It is, we're told, 9/10 of the law. Children grasp the concept pretty quickly. After all, who hasn't heard a young child say, "It's mine, I had it first"? And ownership is what's being stressed in these opening verses. "They were yours," Jesus says, "you gave them to me." The Father has chosen a people out of the world, and he has given them to Jesus. This phrase, "out of the world," is then primarily about ownership. In the Old Testament, God spoke this way about the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, Moses writes, "The Lord your God had chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." Of all the nations on the face of the earth, God chose one people upon whom he would lavish his love, one people whom he would take as his own, one people who would be his people. And now Jesus speaks of his followers in the very same way. "I have revealed you to those whom you have given me out of the world." The emphasis here is that we are no different than anyone else in the world. God has not chosen the best children in the class. We're not better than other people. We too were lost. We had no thought of God or care of God. We did nothing to make God love us. Rather, we rejected his ways in our rebellion towards him. Yet God lavished his love upon us and chose us out of the world to be his people. And he has given us to his son, Jesus. And we can tell those who belong to Jesus by two things that we see in this passage. First of all, their attitude to God's word. Look with me at verses 6 to 8. At the end of verse 6, Jesus says, "They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word." The person who belongs to Jesus is characterized by this obedience to God's word. Now, initially, that's the call to follow the Lord Jesus. We hear the gospel message, the call to turn from our sin and put our trust in the Lord Jesus, and we turn from our sinful ways, trusting in Jesus to forgive us. We obey the call of the gospel. But following Jesus is not only about that initial call to follow Jesus, it is a life of obedience to the Lord Jesus. The disciples had responded to the call of the Lord Jesus to follow him, and their lives were to be marked by obedience. Indeed, it was they who were to go into the world, making disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus had commanded them. And that doesn't mean that the Christian never disobeys, or that disobedience somehow disqualifies us from following the Lord Jesus. But obedience to God's word is the general direction of our lives. It's the way in which we continue to walk, even if at times, like the disciples, we fail to obey as we should. But when we fail to obey, God's Spirit speaks to our hearts and prompts us, making us aware of our sin and calling us to turn again to him. Look again at verse 7. "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them." The person who belongs to Jesus accepts God's words. The follower of Jesus doesn't, like the world, set themselves up as an authority over God's words, deciding which of them they will obey and which of them they can disregard and ignore. No, they accept the words of Jesus as the very words of God. And they accept God's words as words which have authority, as words which are absolutely true. We can tell those who belong to Jesus, not just by their attitude to God's word, but by their belief in God's Son. Look again at the end of verse 8. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. We can tell who belongs to Jesus by their belief in God's Son. They accept who Jesus claims to be, that God sent his Son into the world to rescue a people he had chosen for himself. And they're trusting in Jesus to give them the eternal life that he promises. In John's later letters, he points to this as one of the central tests of whether someone is a true believer. If they deny that Jesus is the Messiah, God's promised Savior, or if they deny that Jesus had come as a human being into the world, they do not belong to the Lord. It's as simple as this. We only belong to Jesus if we believe in Jesus. And those who belong to Jesus accept his word and believe in God's Son. And that in itself brings glory to Jesus. Jesus can say in verse 10, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. In a world where God's authority is questioned, where God's word is ignored, and where God's Son is rejected, we bring glory to Jesus by gladly living under his rule and accepting what Jesus says. And glory goes to Jesus because it was not always that way. We once belonged to the world, walking in the ways of the world's rebellion against God and its rejection of God. But God set his love upon us, sending his Son to rescue us by his death and resurrection, and winning our love for him. Having been chosen out of the world, we are in the world, but not of the world. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Because we belong to Jesus, the world is a dangerous place for the believer. And here Jesus speaks first of all about the world's hatred. Our acceptance of God's words, his authority, puts us out of step with the rest of the world. We no longer walk in the world's ways. We no longer approve of the world's sinful choices and actions. The thinking of the world no longer sets the direction of our lives. God's word does that. And the world does not like the fact that we disapprove of its behavior. Behavior that we once participated in, and it hates us for it. Now you know what that's like in your own life. In school or work, someone suggests doing something that would be dishonest. You won't go along with it, and your refusal highlights their dishonesty. And that person doesn't turn around and say, why, thank you for pointing that out, that I was about to make a dishonest choice. Thank you for making me aware of my tendency towards dishonesty. You have rescued me from a path that would have been terrible for me. No, they hate the fact that your right actions highlight their wrong actions. As those who no longer belong to the world, who are in the world but not of the world can be a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place because of the evil one who exercises so much influence in the world. Look at verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. The Bible warns that there is a great enemy of God and of his people, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants to unsettle our faith in the Lord Jesus. He seeks to use the difficulties that we face in life to turn us away from the Lord. He seeks to set us on a direction that will take us further and further from the Lord. The Apostle Paul speaks of the devil's attempts to outwit us and the need to be aware of the devil's schemes. As those who no longer belong to the world, who are in the world but not of the world, who once followed the ways of the world and its ruler, the devil, but have been rescued from his control, the world can be a dangerous place. And yet there is more danger, not only from the world's hatred and the evil one, but even from ourselves. As Jesus considers the dangers that his followers will face, he recognizes that there is something in us that works against us, fulfilling God's purposes on earth. And so he prays in verse 11 that the Father will protect them so that they may be one as we are one. And the greatest danger to this unity lies not in the world or in the devil, but within ourselves. We've been chosen out of the world. We're no longer of the world, but we are foolish if we think that we are free from the sinful desires of the world. And the greatest danger to the unity of God's people lies not in the world or the devil, but within ourselves. We spoke last week of how there is no competition between the Father and the Son. Rather, the Son seeks the glory of the Father, and the Father seeks the glory of the Son. They're united in their purposes, even if their roles are different. But neither of them are trying to outdo the other. Now, Jesus prays for his people that they may be one as we are one. But within us, there is a selfish ambition and pride that so often gets in the way of our relationships with one another and hinders our service in God's purposes. When someone else is praised, something within us wants us to be glorified instead of them. We want to be praised, and we find it so hard to listen to another person receiving praise. And what a threat that causes both to our relationships with one another and how it hinders our service in God's purposes. As those who no longer belong to the world, who are in the world but not of the world can be a dangerous place. Not just because of the world's hatred and the devil's schemes, but because we are not yet free of our own sinful and selfish choices. But Jesus prays for us, and we enjoy the protection of Jesus. You'll have noticed that this theme of protection comes up a number of times. Look at verses 11 and 12. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave to me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. The protection of Jesus is what guarantees the true followers of Jesus will keep following Jesus. What theologians call the perseverance of the saints. The true followers of Jesus keep following Jesus. Jesus speaks here of his 12 disciples, that none of them was lost except for Judas, who never really was one of them, but rather one doomed for destruction. And now that Jesus is leaving, he asks the Father to extend this same protection, the protection of Jesus, to all of those the Father has given him. At another point, Jesus can say these words, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. This is what assures us, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus, that we will keep following Jesus, that we will not be crushed by the world's hatred. We will not be devoured by the devil's schemes, not even destroyed by our own sinful choices. We have the protection of Jesus. Yes, the world is a dangerous place for the people of God, but we need not fear because Jesus prays for us, protecting us, guaranteeing that we persevere, that we keep following Jesus. Now, when we're in danger, our natural instinct is toward self-protection, toward safety. And sometimes, because the world is a dangerous place for the believer, our response is simply to withdraw, to isolate ourselves, to cut ourselves off, to fall back into a safe place. But look at what Jesus prays in verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus' prayer is that we remain, if you like, in enemy territory. In fact, as those chosen out of the world, as a people who are in the world but not of the world, we are sent into the world. Jesus prays in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. There's a vast world before us, filled with people who need to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus. And God has chosen to send out into the world, not the good people, but the people he has chosen out of the world, who once belonged to the world, but now belong to Jesus, to call others to put their trust in him. In fact, we are sent into the world just like Jesus. The world would be a dangerous place for Jesus. He would face the hatred of the world. He would face the deceitfulness of the devil's schemes. He would face the temptations of human flesh. But he didn't pull back and stay where it was safe. He was sent into the world just as we are. Now, the world is a big place, and it's a bit daunting to think about being sent out into the world. So let's step back for a moment and think what that might look like in the week ahead. Some of you are about to go back to school, and that's how your uniform looks at the beginning of the year. You start off all neatly and tidily dressed. But school can be a dangerous place for a believer in the Lord Jesus. And you know that your tendency is to just want to be safe. Avoid anything that would attract the world's attention on you, that would make it difficult to be a Christian. You do your best to avoid going to Christian Union because you know exactly what your friends would think of that. You avoid speaking about anything that would identify you as a follower of the Lord Jesus because you know it's a dangerous place to be a believer. But we're to think of it in different terms. As you return to school this week, you are to think of yourself being sent into the world by the Lord Jesus. To live out your faith, as difficult as that might be, before your friends. Others of you are about to start into college, and that can be a dangerous place for a believer. There's an expectation that you will just live like everybody else, indulging whatever pleasures you have. And if you seek to live differently, you will know what it is to feel the world's hatred. But what a difference it makes when we think of ourselves as being sent into the world to be an influence for good on campus and to have an opportunity to share that good news with others about the Lord Jesus, who may never have an opportunity to hear that from somebody else. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, I'd love to go into the world, but my school days and my college days are finished. Tomorrow morning, I just go into work and I sit at my desk. Or maybe you're a teacher in a classroom and you think, my day is just filled with children all day long. How can I be sent out into the world? But think of the opportunities that come in both the office and the classroom. In the classroom, not only the children in front of you, but the connection with their families, with the whole community in that town. Or in your office place, people who would never think of going to a church. Effectively, the church comes to them every day in their office. People who know and love the Lord Jesus, who can speak to them of the Lord Jesus and demonstrate something of his love. What a difference it makes to our workplace when we get up in the morning and think of ourselves as being sent into the world by Jesus. For some of you, your working years are over. Perhaps your circle of friends has got much smaller. Maybe the only conversation that you've had yesterday was with a neighbour over the fence. But if that's the world that God has sent you into, then we need to make the most of the opportunity to share that good news with others. Even if that's only a neighbour or a few people that we see in the course of a week, God has sent you into the world with this good news. Or your life at the minute is caught up with children, little children. You hardly have time for anything else. Yet what an amazing opportunity this stage of life opens up. With lots of other parents, through mother and toddler groups, creche, primary school, opportunities that you will never again have in life. And not to the neglect of your own children and the wonderful opportunity to introduce them to the Lord Jesus. What a difference it makes when we start to think about our sports and hobbies, not as ends in themselves, but rather as ways in which we are sent into the world. Anywhere your hobbies or interests take you, any club or association that you're part of, anywhere that you meet with other people, what a difference it makes when we start to think that we have been sent into the world to be a witness of the Lord Jesus. And never underestimate the gospel opportunities that can be had over a cup of coffee. We have been chosen out of the world that we might belong to Jesus and bring glory to Jesus. And though the world may be a dangerous place for the believer in Jesus, it is still a tremendous mission field into which we are sent every day, just like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world, and that he sends his disciples into the world. Father, I pray that you would help us to look upon life in such a way, not in such a way that divides up our Christian lives from the rest of life, but that rather in all areas of life we would see that we have been sent into the world to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus. Father, we confess that we take so little of the opportunities that come our way, that too often the fact that the world is a dangerous place and we are fearful, we pull back, we choose what is safe, we avoid conversations that might be difficult. Father, we pray that you would give us courage to live as your people in this world. Father, help us in this week ahead to think of ourselves as being sent into the world, just as you sent your Son into the world. Thank you that he chose not the path of safety, but the pathway that led him all the way to the cross, that he might rescue for himself a people that are his very own. And so, Father, we pray that in the week ahead, as a people belonging to Jesus, that you would enable us to bring glory to the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen.